Good morning and welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show. I'm Amy Otto, joined by Lee Cantor. Good morning, Lee.
Good morning, Amy. How you doing?
I'm great, although I'm a little concerned. You got Stu over here coughing, turning his head. Oh,
yeah.
My goodness.
Anything can happen in this room.
You never know what's going to happen. But, you know, we're nearing our one-year anniversary. And
has it been a year?
It'll be a year in a couple months, okay? So it's 10 months. That gives me 2 months to line up Kenny Rogers on the show.
You working on that?
I'm working on that. Because can you imagine how excited I would be?
No. We'll have to just be him. We can't have an other guest.
Oh, are you kidding? No other guest. No other guest. And it'll have to be like a full morning. And yeah. He has to sing.
Bring his guitar?
I don't know. He doesn't need to bring his guitar. Just the purple jacket and his voice.
Okay.
We have a great lineup this morning, Lee. Lots of unique businesses and lots of different types of things to talk about. First this morning, we have Stu Lustman from Southern Lending Solutions. Good morning.
Hi, Amy. How you doing?
Good, Stu. I'm great. And you brought one of your clients with you. What a great thing to do. I mean, really, to see how two of you work in tandem is a wonderful thing. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show, Annette Curtis.
Thank you, Amy.
Annette, tell us a little bit about your business.
Basically, I work with sales departments of mid-sized companies to help them improve sales performance through sales processing, sales technology, and sales tools and performance, and then to help them hire the right people the first time around so that they don't have to hire and rehire and just negatively impact the bottom line.
What is your product?
Not product per se, more consulting.
Mm-hmm.
I work with many CRM tools, Salesforce.com, Siebel, Microsoft Office, Sage CRM, Sales Diagonal, Sales Logic, any type of CRM tool I can work with and provide some efficiencies by providing increased efficiencies and increased performance by looking at the Six Sigma methodology and improving their performance and effectiveness.
For those that are listening that don't know what a CRM is, can you define that?
That's an excellent question. Customer relationship management or contact management software. So if you're in the sales department, all the places, the database that you put your customer contact information in, whether it's your customer's name and phone number and address, maybe the notes that you have on that particular customer, all that information goes in a database, and you can affectionately call it CRM, contact management, or customer relationship management. And that's the number one issue for CEOs of any size company right now is customer contact, customer relationships, and making certain that the customers are satisfied. So customer satisfaction is key on the key minds of most CEOs right now.
And you believe that every company should have some sort of CRM system?
Every company that's got, you know, more than five people and maybe more than five sales reps need at least some type of database, whether it's Salesforce.com, SalesLogic, Siebel. They need something to be able to put their contact information in so they can run their revenue reports, they can run their trending reports, marketing, customer support, that they can run and effectively manage their business. Absolutely.
That sounds expensive.
It's not that expensive. You can either host it or own it, and that's where Stu comes in. You can host it and pay anywhere between $60 to $70 per month per user, or you can own it outright. It's very affordable since we have browser-based software now, and that's where my partnership with Stu comes in, allowing him to provide leasing options to customers that maybe can't afford everything up front. They want to reserve their capital for other expenditures. They can use Stu's business to be able to lease it and save that capital expenditures for other things.
So, Stu, why would companies want to finance things like this instead of going to their banks?
Well, that's a great question. The primary reason is that banks aren't doing much what I would call conventional small business lending anymore because they've been hurt so much by the mortgage and construction industry happenings. They've had to increase their amount of loss provisions on all of their balance sheets and everything. And as a result, they're just lending less money everywhere, including to businesses. So a lot of businesses can't get a loan from their bank to do that. And we can finance 100% software only. And not only that, we can also include up to 20% of license fees in services, installation, maintenance, or training. So some of the training that Annette would do with a client once they finance. And as opposed to having to host it, they get to actually own the software outright from the very first day, and it can be set up as either a lease purchase arrangement or as what we call an EFA, an equipment finance agreement, where they actually own the software from the very first day.
So you have an interesting background. By the way, you went to my alma mater, Loyola. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
I actually went to Loyola in Chicago. I saw you went to Loyola Baltimore.
Yes.
But you have a finance.
Gotta love those Jesuit schools.
Gotta love it. You have a finance background. What made you want to start your own company and begin lending in this way?
Well, my previous financial background was more into the capital markets, dealing with equities both as a broker and an analyst and a trader. And I liked that work, but I was interested in what happens on the debt side, on the borrowing side of things. And by working with small to medium-sized businesses who are my primary target, I get to have much more I get to touch them much more often. I get to get a level of depth of what they're doing in their businesses in a way that's just impossible with a publicly traded enterprise.
And financing technology, is that different from financing other things?
Yes and no. The interesting thing is that a lot of the independents like me don't finance technology, and really the primary reason for that is that most of the independents are much older than I am, and they picked kind of the plum industries of construction and industrial equipment and that kind of stuff and developed those industry relationships there. So most of the time, the only other companies that are offering financing on a regular basis for technology are the big boys like GE Capital and CIT Group and companies like that. And just like in every industry, the big boys are big for a reason. They do some things well, but they can never get the high touch and personal service and all those kinds of things that the independent can offer, just like the difference of the big boy banks versus the local community banks.
So, Annette, it's obvious that people that are in sales especially need some type of management tool to manage their customers, how often they need to reach out and touch them, how to manage the data. What do you think are the top maybe three things that a vice president of sales should consider in order to increase their sales revenue?
Oh, that's a great question. I think the top three things they need to consider are their people, mm-hmm. hiring really good, talented people and hiring them the first time and getting that hire right so that you don't have to go through the rehiring process and negatively impact your revenue. The second thing I would consider is the technology, whether it's the sales tools or the sales process, getting that right so that you weed out any inefficiencies that may be there. And the last thing I think I would consider would be the common language so that everybody's talking about the same thing at the same time so that they understand a good sales methodology. What sales methodology you pick is up to the individual company, but as long as they have a common language that they're speaking about so that if I say that I'm in 25% of my sales cycle with this particular customer, you understand exactly what that 25% means. So that we're all kind of talking the same language.
So a lot of these tools then cost money, so that's where you look to do services, correct?
Absolutely.
And how does that help you, having a relationship with someone like Stu?
It's just great. I offer my customers the options. They can either fund it on their own. A lot of them, given the 2008 economy, are looking to not fund it on their own, but looking to look at lease options, and that's where Stu comes in. GE Capital is, as Stu mentioned, is one option, but a lot of customers like to have other options besides just GE Capital. GE Capital is a little bit more expensive. Stu comes in and provides them great customer service, great touch, great feel. His customer scores are very high. Well, as he works with his customers, and he's local to a lot of the customers that I'm working with right now, and he's able to provide them great rates.
So, Stu, do you have a sweet spot? Do you have a particular type of client or a vertical market that you try to penetrate?
Well, it seems like most of our clients happen to be professional services firms that have equipment or technology needs, since most in those areas like accounting practices and law practices and stuff are likely have more computers than people.
Mm-hmm.
So as a result, their technology costs are a higher percentage of their overall overhead than for someone, say, like a manufacturing enterprise. I would say usually most of my clients are in the range of 5 to 50 employees, but actually up to about 250 or 500 are still many companies in the mid-size range that also look for financing options.
And there are so many small to mid-size companies in the Atlanta area. I would imagine that the need for your service is great. How can people get a hold of you?
Well, thanks for asking. My phone number is 404-822-7887. My email address is Stu, which is spelled S-T-U, at southernlendingsolutions.com. And my website is www.southernlendingsolutions.com. And I have a commercial finance blog that goes into a lot of examples of how technology helps companies grow at southernlendingsolutions.blogspot.com.
Tell us a little bit more about the blog.
Well, I do some really cool things there where I not only talk about equipment and technology, I also go into things like proper lease structures for maximum tax efficiency. I also bring in other experts of people that I refer my clients to, like community bankers and CPAs and business coaches, and I ask them some questions, and they post the answers and showcase their expertise on my blog. In fact, I had Andy Greider do that just a couple of weeks ago.
Interesting. Lee, you like to blog.
Yes, I do. What about you?
I'm not jumping on the blogging bandwagon yet. But
you think it's a fad?
I do think it's a fad, but I do see where it optimizes your search engine. I mean, I see where it is beneficial, definitely.
It's not a fad.
It's a commitment.
Just giving you the
heads
up. Well,
daily updates definitely are not required. I probably update once a week, if that, because I'm not in a kind of business where things are changing overnight.
Right. And also, you can update every day in one day and just have it post every day.
You mean you can update once and then have it post throughout the week?
Right.
Yeah, that would make sense, definitely. I do find a lot of valuable information, though, through blogging, so I see the benefit. It's just I'm not blogging yet.
You will.
I'm sure I will. Well, Stu and Annette, thank you so much for being with us today and for sharing your business with us. Annette, how can people reach out and touch you if they're interested in learning more about your sales tools?
Great. 770-986-8216. Or then go to my website, www.salesdiagonal.com. www.salesdiagonal.com.
You know she said the Six Sigma word.
I know.
I didn't touch on it because we only have 30 minutes because I could spend hours talking to you
Six
about
Sigma,
that.
Six Sigma, absolutely.
But it does sound like you have a wealth of knowledge in the area of the CRMs, which can be very complicated, very confusing. Reach out, touch Annette, and ask her any questions you might have and how to optimize your sales force. Stu, Annette, thanks so much for being with us today on the Atlanta Business Radio Show. And next up, we have Doug Billion. Doug, you have a wide background in many things. Tell us about your background.
Well, thank you, Amy. It's a pleasure to be here. I came from the publishing business. My father, Doug Billion Sr., had a long career with McGraw-Hill. Purchased Golf World magazine back in the 70s, sold it in the late 80s, and we grew that business into Art and Antiques magazine, Boating World magazine, several trade magazines, Textile World Asia, Textiles Panamericanos, and actually a healthcare data sort of a directory that's grown leaps and bounds in the last decade. It started out as a hospital blue book, and we still purchase that, still publish that, but it's become a much more data-driven entity. Any sales team looking to get into the healthcare field, it'll help them their sales effort a lot. I have recently gone out on my own as the son of an entrepreneur. I guess it's genetic, or even in my background as the my personal background as the publisher of Catalyst magazine, which supports local entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I was reading too much of my own content. I couldn't help but go out on my own and see if I could take a crack at it.
Wow. So tell us what you're doing now.
Well, I bought a business called Southern Silver. It was based in South Florida, and I've relocated it back to my hometown here in Atlanta. You can find it at southernsilver.com, and the website now needs a lot of work. So don't shy away from it, right away. We've got lots of things happening. My background is search engine optimization and blogging and those kinds of things. So the site's got lots in store for it.
So it's an e-commerce store for silver?
It is. That's right. We specialize in sterling silver flatware. So anybody who collects sterling silver flatware knows that it's pretty difficult to find a lot of different things online. So that's the niche we're after. Is
it a buying and selling?
It is both. Yep, buying and selling. And we want to give an e-commerce solution to to that market.
So would people look out to you for gifts or more the collector?
Or like that one last piece in a collection?
That's right. All the above, yeah. We do baby gifts. We're moving into corporate gifts, picture frames, and those kinds of things. But right now our main bread and butter is sterling silver flatware, serving pieces, individual pieces, full place settings, full collections, any of those kind of things.
So where do you get your stuff?
That's what I was going to ask, Lee. Where do you get your stuff?
All over the place. You know, a lot of private sellers are, you know, maybe inherited grandmother silver and it doesn't match their current pattern or one of those kind of challenges. So really all over the place. Other dealers, eBay is a great place to find some things. That's about it.
You have a warehouse?
Yep. We operate a small warehouse in Sandy Springs. We do not operate a retail location, so it's all online.
So that way you pass the savings on.
You got it. Yep. We want to offer significant savings to the customer.
Doug, I got to ask, what is the best way to polish silver?
Well, I use a high-speed polishing wheel, but not many people have those. There's lots of good products out there. Haggerty is a real common brand, and nothing beats a little elbow grease. It's just getting in there and rubbing it out.
What, didn't they have those products on TV that you would just place it on to this work?
Yeah, those metal plates.
Yes.
They do work, but you don't quite get the reflection from it. You get rid of some of the tarnish, but it doesn't really polish. With the true definition of polish, it doesn't get the same same image across.
That's one thing. Silver is always classic. I mean, it's always it's always in. It's always a great gift. It's always wonderful to receive too. Any reason why silver, and what attracted you to this particular company?
You know, it's interesting. Coming from sort of an e-commerce website experience, I was looking for a traditional business and some way to sort of bring the two together. And bringing e-commerce to the silver business in general, it really sort of scratches my itch. I think it, because I'm a pretty traditional guy, it gives me an outlet for, like you said, some of the timeless classics, but brings them to the 21st century. So many of the websites out there now are fairly dated, and you can get what you need, but you got to go through, you know, five extra pages to get it, or they don't have a newsletter, or maybe they don't have a blog, maybe they don't have a lot of the functions that a lot of the consumers right now are expecting.
Did you were you looking at other businesses other than this silver one?
I was.
What made the short list?
Actually, there was a business around beach chairs and beach umbrellas. Also, it was actually based here in Atlanta already, and it got scooped out from under me. I guess good businesses sell fast, and I was taking my time, and you know, just wasn't sure about it. And somebody, one of her competitors, came in and said, you know, I don't care. I'll take it as is. Here's your cash. So that one got scooped. But really, just looking around business broker websites, I was able to sift through all kinds of different businesses, and I knew what my personal goals were in terms of revenue and how that breaks down to the bottom line. So those are the criteria I started out with.
Did you have like kind of a long tail? Were you looking for something that was kind of not mainstream but popular? You know, trying to find that kind of middle ground?
You know, at first, I guess I was pretty wide open. I looked at all kinds of different businesses. There are, you know, laundromats and gas stations and all those kinds of things.
You were going like conventional?
Well, and I saw those on the sites, but they weren't for me. So
right.
I had a pretty specific focus, which was, like I said, taking the e-commerce to a traditional business.
So. Mm-hmm. So where do you see the business 5 years from now, other than having a better website?
You know, I really hope to be a big player. There are two or three major players right now in the silver business, and they're huge. Replacements Limited in North Carolina is sort of the 800-pound gorilla. There are two or three other ones, and they do a great job. They have expanded a lot of different product lines that I may or may not get into, maybe China, maybe crystal, those kinds of things. So we're just kind of figuring out where the industry is going as a whole, and you know, developing niches within that.
It seems like the classics are what people want now. I noticed one of my nieces just registered for wedding gifts, and she registered for mismatched china.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would think that, you know, getting pieces of silver here and there would be really neat, and they don't have to match.
That's right. And absolutely not. As a matter of fact, lots of people specifically seek out silver that doesn't match, just for, you know, for the different seasons or different mood or what have you. They can mix it up.
I've got some really neat pieces of silver. I have to run past you.
Okay, great.
I'd love to. What's the best way for people to reach you if they have silver they'd like to sell or if they're interested in your products?
Sure. The website is southernsilver.com. Our email address is info@southernsilver.com. And our local phone number is 404-255-9910.
Wonderful. Well, Doug, will you still have your hands in the publishing at all?
A little bit. I'm obviously still a family member, and hopefully I'll be able to express my opinion from time to time, but daily operations, Southern Silver is taking most of my time.
Well, from Catalyst Magazine, the magazine for entrepreneurs, mm-hmm. you're certainly setting a good example for those readers.
Let's hope so.
Wonderful. Well, it'll be great to keep up with you and see where you are in a couple of years, and we'd love to have you back on the show and hear how things are going.
Sounds great. I'd love it.
Thanks for being our guest today. We have another interesting and unique, and you know I'm all about the uniquely. I love unique business ideas, and Anand Goble really has an unusual service to offer others, and the best part of it is that he doesn't make money unless he saves you money. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show, Anand.
Thank you, Amy.
Optimize Payments Consulting. Tell us about it.
Basically, our company helps mid to large-size businesses improve their bottom line by lowering their costs for processing electronic transactions. And for most businesses, that means credit card transactions. But it can also mean check transactions and gift card transactions.
Gift card transactions. Explain a little bit more.
You know, there are about 6.3 million businesses in the U.S. That do credit card processing. And credit card processing is critical to a company like electricity, but is so complicated and confusing. Everyone has a processor, but most companies tend to overpay because it's just one of those things you purchase, you sign an agreement, and you forget about it. And that's where, you know, someone like me comes in. There are thousands of resellers of payment services, but this business model is very innovative. There's only one other company that I know in the U.S. that does this. And what we do is we go in and look at all their payment products, and we look at areas of efficiencies, process efficiency and cost efficiencies. We identify them by using our proprietary methodology, software, and our industry expertise. And then we work with the client to implement all those changes. And when we can demonstrate savings to their bottom line, we get a percentage of those savings. So you mentioned gift card. You know, gift cards have grown so much over the last decade. I get so many over Christmas and mm-hmm. birthdays. But the cost of buying those plastic cards and the cost per transaction can be huge for a retailer. And having a lot of industry benchmarks and insights, we can come in and lower those costs for these retailers.
What is the most dramatic cost savings you were able to help a customer with?
Typically, our clients, I focus on clients processing over $5 million in annual transactions. Before we start a client engagement and before any contract is signed, we do a courtesy analysis for our client. And that is, we look at their statements and we see if we can save them tens of thousands of dollars per year. Mm-hmm. And if we can't, we say, you know, we don't want to waste your time. You have a great, great program. You're operating at high efficiency levels and there's no cost for that. So typically we save our clients on average about $40,000 to $50,000 a year.
Wow.
And then when the way your arrangement works is whatever you save them, you get a percentage of that?
Absolutely. So if we don't save them anything, we don't make a penny. But if we save them, let's say, $40,000 over the course of the year, that gets broken down on a monthly basis. So what we do at the very beginning is we set a benchmark of here are your costs today. And then we start implementing our recommendations. And then every single month, we look at their cost structure against the benchmark, mm-hmm. and we see what the savings are. And then we just take a percentage of those savings on a monthly basis. Yep. So there's nothing that they would have to prepay for future services. It's ongoing.
So you've got to earn it every month.
Absolutely.
And how long do you typically work with the client?
The contract, it spells out 2 years. So mm-hmm. we work with a client, and we're an advocate for the client for 2 years. And an important thing to note is that we don't work with any payment processor, any reseller. So our interest, we don't make a dime from anybody else other than a client.
Mm-hmm.
So a client can be confident that they have an unbiased industry expert who can really help them.
Are they comfortable, like, sharing this kind of information with you? Because don't you have to know their mm-hmm. what their revenues are?
Absolutely. We sign in that contract, there's a confidentiality clause that we protect their privacy, but we have to know some of that basic information. And what we found is clients, they don't mind sharing that, because if they were to move from one payment processor to another, they have to share that information anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So we keep all that private.
Wow, sounds like a win-win to me, Lee.
That's what we like here.
We love the win-win situation. So what's the best way for people to get in touch with you if they're interested in learning more about your services?
We have a website where you can find all of our contact information. The website is www.optimizedpayments.com. It's actually, let me spell it out, optimizedpmts.com.
When's the last time you paid cash or wrote a check for something, Lee?
I don't carry cash.
I know. It's amazing. I pay for everything with my credit card.
Right.
I would imagine your service would be in need by many, because I know there are processing fees involved. I don't even have my checkbook with me.
But I bet the processing, Anand, you can speak on this. It's one of those things where they get you in and then it kind of creeps up and you don't even notice the rates changing.
The rates have gone up. They go up every year. Mm-hmm. And I was in the industry. I worked for one of the largest processors in the U.S., and I managed all the pricing and analytics, and I went to industry conferences. So the industry is huge and complex precisely because customers can't really...
Right, they can't follow it. They don't know mm-hmm. what their deal is.
They might get a 20-page statement. There's so much data and numbers.
Right.
They're like, you know, at the end of the day, I'm paying on average 3% or 2.5%, and they kind of forget about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a cost of doing business.
Right.
But they don't necessarily have to pay that.
And then plus it's those fees. There's, you know, there's all these kind of fees on top of the rates, right?
There are tons of fees. There's monthly fees, customer service fees, statement fees, compliance fees. And some of these fees, a recent statement that I saw had a compliance fee on it. There's no such fee. I mean, you can make up anything
right.
you possibly want.
Just put some legal-sounding name and call it a fee.
Yeah, right, right.
The word compliance kind of scares people anyway.
Right.
Oh, gosh.
Better pay this one. It's for compliance.
Better be compliant. Wow. Well, we have to be compliant on our time today, Lee. We have another show coming up. But thank you all so much for listening, and we hope that you'll reach out and touch our guests today and learn more about their companies. For now, I'm Amy Otto with the Atlanta Business Radio Show. Lee, any final thoughts?
No, just have a great weekend.
Wonderful. Bye-bye.